preach, the guys would preach sometimes on like a Thursday chapel, okay? And they would say, Adam, Austin, and Caleb, y'all are going to preach on this Thursday. You got 10 or 15 minutes. Go ahead and write out a sermon, and you're going to be up, okay? So I remember you didn't want to be the first guy sometimes because, I mean, the dean was in there, he was listening, and you were just a little bit nervous. But then at the same time, you didn't want to be the last guy either, because I remember I'd be the second or third guy sometimes, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I just hope that they don't preach what I'm about to preach. I hope that they don't turn, and then they would say, well, turn over here to John. You're like, no, no, please don't say it. And the chapter 3 is like, oh, no, they're going to go on, but I'm going to preach. But I say, I'll turn to Matthew chapter, and you know that they're going where you're about to preach, okay? Well, this morning I was sitting back in the sound booth, and pastor's preaching, and I hear him. He says, turn over here. And my ears kind of perk up because my sermon was already written out this morning prior to his sermon, okay? But pastor preached something almost identical to what I'm going to talk about tonight. And what was different from this morning was I wasn't sad about it. I wasn't thinking, oh, no, pastor's going to preach what I'm going to preach. What rang in my heart and in my mind was that, hey, this is just confirmation that God wants us to hear this. This is just confirmation that you need to preach what you're going to preach. And I remember after I'd written out the sermon, I was thinking, well, Lord, is this really what you want me to preach? I don't know if I want to talk about this subject. And pastor preaching what he preached this morning just confirmed all of that, okay? So I was having a conversation with a pastor friend not too long ago, and we were just kind of talking about churches in general, okay, across America. And one of the things that he said to me that rang out was that churches today have a attitude of consumerism. And I kind of thought about that statement after we got off the phone. He said, churches today have an attitude of consumerism. And that is so true. I feel like most Christians only go to church to be served. I feel like a lot of Christians are just showing up to church, and it's kind of like they walk into McDonald's and they go up to the kiosk and they think, well, what do I want from this? What am I going to pick from this menu? And then they might say, you know what, I don't want pickles on my burger, so I'm going to leave that off. But I want ketchup, so they're going to add that. And in our churches, we've been overtaken by this concept of consumerism Christianity. We go to church and we listen to what the pastor says and we say, I like that, but I don't like what he said right there, so I'm just going to act like I didn't hear it. I like what he said about this, but I'm just going to ignore the other part. And then we leave and we kind of just take what we liked about it, and then we don't take anything that's going to help change our lives. Or some Christians have the attitude of, well, I didn't really like the service that I got there. I didn't feel like maybe they met all my needs. I didn't feel like maybe they were serving me the proper way. I wasn't maybe greeted in the way I thought I should be greeted. And know what they'll do? They'll leave and they'll go to another church 2 miles down the road. And then maybe they don't like something there. And then they leave and they go to another church right down the road. And this is something that has permeated Christianity. This is something that is killing our churches. Why? Because Christianity wasn't made to be a consumer product. It wasn't something that God designed for us to pick and choose what we want to believe from the scriptures. It's not something that he designed for us just to kind of sit back and say, okay, I'm going to let the church serve me. No. God designed the church for us to serve each other, correct? He designed the church so that way we could be a big body of believers, and so that way we could worship with each other, so that way we could pray for each other, so that way we could minister to each other. And the concept of church has kind of been taken out of whack, okay? The concept of church has kind of been destroyed. So what I want to talk to you about, and something that's been on my mind since the beginning of this year and even into last year, is keeping the main thing the main thing. Okay, so the title of my sermon is going to be Keeping the Main Thing the Main Thing. And I feel like we've gotten away from what Christianity is really supposed to be. I think we've gotten away from whenever Jesus had his 12 disciples and he was here on this earth and serving and doing all that stuff. I think we've gotten away from what he has intended for Christianity to actually be. So let's go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, okay? And y'all are going to be very familiar with this passage of scripture. There's a lot of things that we could go through and look at. There's a lot of things that we could say, well, what is the main thing? The main thing might be different to each every one of us. I might go and ask someone in the service, hey, what do you think that the main thing of Christianity is? And they might say, well, love. I could go to someone else and they say, tithing. I could go to someone else and they could say having joy. But what I want to key in on is a few different things here, okay? So Matthew chapter 28, and let's start in verse 16. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So whenever I think about what the main thing is in Christianity, I think about winning other people for Christ, and I think about loving and ministering to other people. I think that's why Christ left us on this earth. I think he left us here to go out and to reach a lost and dying world. I think he left us here to go out and to minister to our fellow church brethren and to minister to a world that doesn't know him. He wants us to reach our neighbors. He wants us to reach our coworkers, our friends, those people that surround us in our lives. And as Christians, I think that that should be what the main thing is. But we've gotten to this point to where we show up to the church, whether it be for music, or some people go to their church because it has a cool coffee bar. Some people go to their church maybe because they like how the pastor talks, whatever. But we've gotten away from what the main thing is supposed to be, and that is reaching those around us and loving and caring for those people around us, okay? And Jesus, he gave the disciples this admonition here, and he told them, hey, go out, preach my name, tell people about me, get them baptized, and just keep doing that over and over and over again. And that's what Christ is wanting from each and every one of our lives. And as Christians, that should be our main focus, is who can I reach? Who can I talk to about him? Who can I spread the gospel to? When's the last time that we've personally told someone about Christ? When's the last time that we've personally invited someone to church so that way they could come hear about him? When's the last time that we've ministered to someone in our church? When's the last time that we've took a little bit of time out of our day or a little bit of money or whatever it cost to go and just to reach out to someone and show them that we love them and that we care for them? Think about Jesus' ministry. While he was ministering for those 3.5 years that we have documented, he was going out, he was healing the sick, the blind, the people who couldn't walk. He was out telling people about himself. He was out preaching God and his kingdom. And that was Jesus' main focus, and I don't think our focus should be any different. I think our focus should be going out, reaching others, and ministering to them. But we've gotten caught up in this consumerism Christianity. We have this consumerist attitude where we say, well, if I had to go talk to someone, I could be embarrassed. If I had to go talk to someone, well, that's just not my forte. Well, I don't remember reading here where God said, well, if you don't like talking to people, just don't tell them about me. He wants us to reach others. He wants us to find others. And I might be able to reach someone that you can't. But on the flip side, you can reach people that I can't. And God has placed each and every one of us in our own Jerusalem, okay? In our own area. Wherever you live, that's your Jerusalem to go out in and to tell people about Christ. Wherever you work, I know that you can't always just go up to someone at your work and start talking about Christ. But we can live the right type of lifestyle to show them that, hey, I'm a different person than the rest of the world. And now some people say, well, we shouldn't do lifestyle evangelism. I think lifestyle evangelism and door-to-door and the rest of the stuff that we can go and tell people go hand in hand. We should be living the life, and we should be telling other people about the right type of lifestyle and about Christ, okay? So I think that is what the main thing is. So let's go ahead and dive into our sermon here. We're going to take a look at a story that Jesus told, and I think that it pretty well encapsulates, I think that's a word, the church today and the attitudes of a lot of people. So let's go over and head over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and once you make it over there, we'll start in verse 25. Luke chapter 10 and starting in verse 25. And before we read the verses, my first point is going to be by looking outward. So how do we keep the main thing the main thing? It's by looking outward, looking out at other people, okay? So Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. It says, let's see. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. So we have here the story of the Good Samaritan, a very familiar Bible story. But what I want to focus in on here is the three different people that encountered this guy that was laying there, beaten, bruised, robbed, okay? So we see the priest, he walks by, and he looks, and he doesn't take any action. And in our church age today, a lot of us have taken on the attitude of the priest, okay? The priest probably thought, well, I have much better things to do. I need to be at church, or I need to be going and doing other things, or my clothes are too nice to help someone out that's beaten on the side of the road and bleeding. This priest had the wrong mindset. Was the priest maybe doing good things? Possibly. He could have been going to accomplish a good deed or whatever. The Bible doesn't say where he was headed to. But what I know is that so many times in our churches, we see needs, but we don't pounce on the opportunity to take care of it. We see that, well, this person needs help, but someone else will help them. Or this ministry needs someone to fill that position, but someone else is going to do that. Whenever pastor says, hey guys, we have a sign-up sheet out at the Welcome Center, people walk by and act like the Welcome Center just doesn't exist. But if I said, hey, there's $100 for everyone who came to church tonight on the Welcome Center, I guarantee all the money would be gone by the time we left, right? But whenever it comes down to service, we kind of look and say, no, someone else is going to fill that position. And guess what? Most of the time, it just doesn't get filled because we kind of pass the buck. We kind of say, well, you know what, Lord, I'm doing some other stuff. And God's saying, no, I want you to stop right here and help. I want you to put yourself into this position so that way you can minister. But we take the attitude of the priest and we say, well, Lord, I'm already doing three other things, so I'm not going to do this other thing that you're asking of me. And then we see the second person, okay, the Levite. The Levite walks by, and we know that the Levites were the priestly tribe in the Bible. So I'm not sure if he was a priest or if maybe he was lower on the totem pole of priestly duties. But this guy also knew he should have stopped. He knew that he should have ministered to this person, but he continued to walk. And it took the very last person, the Samaritan, okay? The Samaritans were looked at as dogs. The Samaritans were not people that were of high regard in the scriptures. Yet this guy stopped and gave of his time. If you keep reading, he gave of his money in order to take care of this individual. And if we're going to keep the main thing the main thing, if we're going to remember that our main focus as Christians is to reach others and to minister to others, we're going to have to be looking outwards. This Samaritan, he didn't have an inward point of view. He was focused on the things around him. He was able to look and see a need and say, hey, I'm going to give of my time to help this guy. I'm going to give of my efforts to help this guy. Did the Samaritan have somewhere he was headed? Probably. He probably had stuff he had to do, but he didn't allow that to stop him. And sometimes I think we mean good in church and we try to do what we need to do, but then we see things that God says, hey, you know you could do that, right? And we say, oh, no, Lord. You know, I'm just not good at this. Or this just isn't really something I like to do. Or you know that I do this thing. And we kind of take these little token things that we do, and God says, yeah, but I want you to do this. And sometimes we say, no, I'm just not going to. Why is that? It's because sometimes we get focused on the inside. It happens to all of us, right? We kind of turn our view inward, and we look and we say, I'm busy. I have a lot of things to do. My plate's already full, and we don't want to burn ourselves out. But at the same time, I think that we can kind of sit back, and we say, well, Lord, I'm already doing these things, so you have to understand. And whenever he's called us to do something, which we're going to look at here in a minute, he wants us to go ahead and to do that. So let's not have the attitude of the two other individuals, the priest and the Levite. Let's have the attitude of the Samaritan who is there ready and willing to help. I know of so many people in this room right now that if I ask them to do something, they're going to do it. And I appreciate that. And I love whenever you can find good Christians that are there and they're ready and they're willing to serve. That makes being a pastor so much easier. That makes the ministries that we do so much easier. Think about VBS. That's probably the biggest thing that Haley and I do every year. And the fact that we have all these people that help us out makes the job so much easier. Could you imagine two people watching 80 kids? That would not go well. But whenever you have people that sign up to teach, whenever you have people that go and are just here for security reasons or whatever, it makes the job so much easier. And that's how God intended for church to be. Like I said earlier, we're a body of believers, and he has designed us to serve with each other. And I like how I think it's in Timothy, I'm not exactly sure, but how he describes the church as a body. And he talks about that, you know, I mean, someone's the ear, someone's the arm. Well, if my legs didn't work, something would be wrong, right? But what if my leg said, well, I'm just not good enough. My left leg, I'm not as strong as Adam's right leg, so I'm just not going to work. Well, I'd be in pretty dire straits, right? I'd have some issues going on. And sometimes we do that. We look at the church, but then we get kind of focused inward, and we say, well, I don't feel like I'm important enough. I don't feel like God's using me how I want to be used. And we start to kind of back off, but we don't realize that it's hurting the entire church body. We don't realize that our lack of sacrificing, our lack of helping out is causing the rest of the body to suffer. If my left leg quit working, my whole body's going to suffer, correct? But in our lives, sometimes we just get so focused on ourselves, and we have to maintain an outward view, okay? So secondly, let's go over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and once you get over there, we'll start in verse 1. First John chapter 2 and verse 1. So the second point that we're going to look at here is we saw first, if we're going to keep the main thing, we have to look outward. Secondly, if we're going to keep the main thing, we have to emulate Christ. We have to emulate Christ. So 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Then this is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. So right here, 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, we see in verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So in our lives, God wants us to fellowship with him, but he also wants us to emulate him. He wants us to fashion our lives after him. And we're going to look at another verse to support this in a second. But he wants us to take our lives and say, how can I be Christ-like? How can I make sure that I'm living my life to the best of my abilities to serve him? And in verse 6 right there, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So if I don't have fellowship with Christ, I'm probably not emulating him, right? If I don't have fellowship with him, I'm probably not living a life that is going to glorify and honor him, and I'm probably not doing the things that he wants me to do. I'm probably not living out the life that he's asking of me. Like I mentioned earlier, while Jesus was here on this earth, he lived a life of giving. He lived a life of helping those around him. Jesus was a busy person, yet he didn't allow that to stop him. Let's go over to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 31. Give you a second to get over there. Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And let's focus in here on verse 34. It says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. So if we want to emulate Christ's attitude, if we want to be like Christ, the Bible says there that he had compassion on those people that he looked out on. Jesus was tired, just like we get tired. Jesus was tempted, just as we're tempted. Jesus faced difficulties. I'm sure Jesus got sad. I'm sure that Jesus had tough times. Yet he never allowed those things in his life to cause him to not have compassion on other people. Jesus was always there, willing to serve, willing to help, willing to do what God had asked of him. And I think that Christianity would be so much better today if we just lived like Christ. If we just said, you know what? I'm going to forget all the other stuff. I'm going to put aside all the other things I'm trying to do. And I'm just going to try to live my life like Christ. I'm going to try to be kind like him. I'm going to try to love like him. I'm going to try to reach those around me like him. But instead, we try to fashion our lives like other things. We try to live our lives in the ways that we want to live it. And if we just tried to live like him, that would solve so many of our problems. Churches today would be booming if people just lived a little bit like Christ. Yet we get so caught up in, well, I go to church Sunday morning. Well, that's good. And then everyone's here tonight. It's good to come Sunday night. It's good to come Wednesday night. It's good to do that stuff. But if we're not living our lives like Christ, then why do it? Why come to church if I'm not going to take what I'm learning and try to live it? Why go to church if I'm not going to live my life in the way that Christ wants me to? And we get so hung up on some of the other stuff sometimes. We get so hung up on trying to maybe follow rules. Or maybe we get so hung up on trying to please other people that we forget that Christ is saying, hey, just live like me. Be like me. Christians, the word Christian talks about, it comes from the word Christ, correct? So if we're Christians, that should mean that we're acting like Christ. Yet so many times, we don't live like him. I remember I went to the Cowboys game while we were there for Christmas in Texas, okay? And I had my jersey on. I had my Cowboys hat on. I was ready to go. Everyone that was at that stadium knew I was a Cowboys fan. If they scored, I was screaming. If they fumbled the ball, I was mad. You know, and everyone knew, they didn't have to discern and say, hey, is that guy actually a Cowboys fan or not? They just knew. And in our lives, sometimes people have to discern and say, hey, are they actually Christians or are they not? Why? Because we're not living like Christ. We're not having an attitude of Christ. We're not living the way that he wants us to live, and we're not emulating what he is like. And one of Christ's top attributes was compassion. And he wants us to show compassion to the world. He wants us to show compassion to those around us. And he wants us to try our best to live like him. The last thing we're going to look at here in this point is go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And then we'll start in verse 14. 1 Samuel 15, 14. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them forth from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So we see here that King Saul completely disobeyed what God told him. God said, I want you to go and destroy the Amalekites. Don't leave anyone alive. Don't leave their animals alive. Don't take anything with you. I just want you to go and slaughter them. And Saul had his own plans. He said, you know what? I'm going to go. I'll do that. But I'm going to let the people bring back some stuff. And Saul was wrong for that. But I love what the Bible says here at the very end of verse 22. It says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God just wants us to obey him. And the person who obeyed God the most was Christ. He listened to what God had commanded him to do. Whenever he went and gave himself on the cross, we know as he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, I don't think Jesus necessarily wanted to die. He said, hey, if there's anything that can happen, let this cup pass from me. But he was obedient even to the death of the cross. And if we're going to emulate Christ, we have to be obedient to his word. We have to be obedient to what he wants. And sometimes we say, well, Lord, I'm making sacrifices. I go to church. I give my tithe. And he's saying, well, that's great. I'm happy that you're doing that. But just obey me. And we look and we say, well, this is going to be tough. I don't know if I can keep everything that the Bible says. And that's not what he wants. He doesn't want us to go through and try to follow every single thing. He wants us just to obey him and what he's asked of us. He wants us to follow him to the best of our abilities. He knows that we're just of the dust of the ground, right? He knows we're going to make mistakes. He knows we're not going to be 100% perfect. But it is better to obey than to make sacrifices. And sometimes I think in our minds, as humans, we make these allowances and say, well, I do this, 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 and this for God, or I do this, 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 and this for the church, so I'm allowed to maybe slide in a few other areas. And that's not how Christianity works. That's not how true Christianity works. God wants us to follow him. He wants us to obey him. And ultimately, we should be trying to emulate Christ to the best of our abilities, okay? So the last thing that we're going to look at here is head over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. So the first thing that we looked at tonight was, if we're going to keep the main thing, we need to be looking outward. We need to be focusing on those around us so that way we can minister to them. Because as we talked about, the main thing in Christianity should be reaching those around us and ministering to those. So by looking outward, secondly, by emulating Christ, because he's our best example on how to reach and how to love others. And then thirdly, we're going to talk about by looking inward. And you might say, well, earlier you talked about that it's a bad thing to have an inward perspective, but just give me a second, okay? So let's go over to Matthew chapter 6. Everyone else is probably there. I'm not. Matthew chapter 6, and once we're there, we'll start in verse 19. Matthew 6, starting in verse 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I love how plain and clear this verse is. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Church, I think that we need to take an inward look into our own lives, not into someone else's life, not into maybe our spouse's life or our kids' lives or whatever. I think we need to take a look into our own hearts and say, hey, where is my treasure at? Do I treasure the things of God, or am I treasuring the things of earth? Am I treasuring what God has for me? Do I love the things of the Lord, or am I focused on all the stuff that I'm personally doing here on this earth. And if we're going to keep the main thing, our heart has to be right. Our heart has to be in a place to serve him. If my heart's not right, I'm not going to be able to emulate Christ. If my heart's not right, I'm not going to be able to look outward on other people and help them. Why? Because my heart's not in a good place, because I'm having heart issues. And as Christians, the Bible says, hey, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I always tell the teens this sometimes when we're teaching, take a look inside and just be honest with yourself and say, well, like, what do I value? What do I treasure? Do I really value the things of God, or is it just for show? Do I really appreciate the things that God has given me? Do I really appreciate the things that God has done for me? Do I really appreciate the Bible and that type of stuff? Or is it just Christian lingo that we use? And it's so important for us to make sure that we have our hearts in the right place. Because like I said, we're not going to be able to keep the main thing, if our hearts are not right. And sometimes I think we need to do a heart inspection, okay? I think that we need to go inside and just get alone and say, is everything actually okay? Is my heart really where it needs to be? Because sometimes we can get saved and we're on fire, okay? And we go to church and we love it, and then a couple years go by and we're still good, but then maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years go by, and it can become something that's just mechanical. It can become just like a machine. I just get up and go to church because that's just what I'm supposed to do. I get up and read my Bible because that's just what I'm supposed to do. I pray because that's what I'm supposed to do. Are those bad things? No. But whenever our heart gets in the wrong place about them, we can still be doing good, but our heart still not be in the right spot. So we can still go to church and not have the right attitude. We can still read our Bibles and still not have the right heart about it. And I think that many Christians across America need to do a heart inspection and say, why do I serve God? Is it for myself, or is it because I want to please him? Do I come to church just because I want to not be judged, or do I go to church because I want to please my Savior? And there's so many different areas in our life that I think we need to take an inspection and say, am I keeping the main thing, or have I maybe gotten off track? Have maybe gotten focused on some other side things? Have I maybe started the chase after other things in my life, and the main thing is no longer the main thing? And as Christians, our number one focus should be, how can I reach others? How can I tell more people about him? How can I live my life in a way to where others can see the light of Christ in me? The Bible talks about that Christians are as a city that are upon a hill, okay? If a city's on a hill and it has a light, you're not going to be able to hide that. It says that we're the salt of the earth. So Christ didn't leave us here for no reason. He didn't leave us here just for a vacation. He left us here so that way we can serve him, so that way we can reach those people around us, and so that way we can minister to those people around us. And like Pastor said this morning, church, there's still time to get those things fixed. No one's ever too far gone until you're dead, okay? And God has given each and every one of us time. Maybe we look in our lives and we say, you know what? Things haven't maybe been how they need to be. Maybe my heart hasn't been in the right place. Well, God's not going to reject you if you go and make that right. He's going to embrace you with open arms and say, hey, I've been waiting. Thank you. And we need to make sure that we're evaluating our lives. And sometimes these things, Pastor also said this morning, we have to be careful that these things don't creep into our lives. If you look and you say, you know what, things are good, then that's awesome. But we need to make sure that we safeguard from that type of activity. We make sure that we safeguard ourselves from falling into that trap. And if we have fallen into that trap, let's get those things right. On Wednesday, I went and got into the church van, okay? And there was a little crack in the windshield, probably like that big, maybe a little bit bigger than that. And I noticed it. I told Pastor on Thursday, hey, there's a crack in the windshield. So we scheduled to go get it fixed. Well, today, I was driving some kids home after the morning service, and Haley said, is the crack expanding? And I looked at it, and while we were driving, you could see the crack growing. Now it's like that big, okay? And this kind of reminds me of what we're going through, okay? That these growing pains that churches are having of this trap that we've fallen into, and how it's never too late, okay? So that glass, we scheduled to get it fixed. We see that there's a crack in it. We see that there's something wrong. We could leave it, but eventually what's going to happen? that little spider crack is going to eventually spread, and then it's going to start somewhere else and spread. And eventually, the whole entire windshield, if I let it go long enough, is probably going to break. But we still have a chance to take that thing to Safe Flight and go get it repaired tomorrow. And in our lives, we might look and say, things aren't right. Things haven't felt right for a while. But you can still go get that glass repaired. You can still go in and say, hey, Lord, I need you to make some adjustments in my heart. I need you to go in and fix a few things. I don't want to live like this anymore. I'm tired of feeling like I'm just doing the same things over and over and over again. I'm tired of feeling like my Christianity is just a chore. I'm tired of feeling like I'm just a consumer Christian. And we can get him to fix that stuff for us, but we got to take it to him. I have to take that van to go get it fixed, right? Safe Flight's not just going to somehow show up here with no one calling them to get it fixed. We have to contact someone and get them to fix it. And Christ is watching, and he's looking, and he's saying, hey, I want you to come back to me. I want to fix you. But chances are he's not just going to reach down and say, hey, I'm going to fix your life, and that's it. Very rarely do we see that. The Apostle Paul, okay? He stepped in and fixed his life without the Apostle Paul really asking. But other than that, I don't really see too many examples where Christ did that in the Bible. So he wants us to go to him humbly and say, hey, Lord, I've messed up. I've tried to be a good Christian, but maybe I've just gotten caught up into the machine. Maybe I've just gotten caught up into just trying to do this as a chore, and I want to make my life right. And that's whenever we'll see churches start to change. That's whenever the churches across America will change their attitude and their mindsets, and we'll actually be able to start to be better, start to grow, start to see God's rewards, start to see his blessings. But it's going to take us making that effort to get our lives back on track. So let me ask you, church, is the main thing in your heart? Are you focused on what God has for you? Are you focused on ministering to other people? Are you focused on reaching others? And if not, let's try to fix those things. Let's make sure that we're always focusing on outward, trying to reach others. Let's make sure that we're emulating Christ. And then thirdly, let's make sure that we are looking inward and that we're trying to establish that, hey, everything's okay on the inside, because then we can begin to move forward in our Christian lives, okay? And then we can see churches across America and our church reap the rewards of people turning back to him and improving those things in our lives, okay? So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. I ask that you would just help us to take these things, Lord, because even myself, Lord, I know that I needed a lot of this. And I ask that you'd help us to apply this to each and every one of our hearts and to our lives. Help us to realize, Lord, that it's good for us to do the things that we're doing, but that there's always more that we could do. Help us to realize that we need to keep the main thing, and help us to get our focus back onto that, Lord. Help us not to get caught up in the rat race of life and all the other stuff, but to stay focused on you. In your name I pray, amen. So before we are dismissed, let's go over a few announcements. So the Red Cross blood drive is going to be